You know what it's time for.
The Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
During an interview with MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell, Bernie Sanders confronted the criticism that his poll numbers against Donald Trump are the result of a blistering attack that he has launched against Hillary Clinton, and that Hillary is facing it not only from him, but also from Trump. While Sanders, everybody's been nice to him because he's like, you know, old.
He has not been going after you as much.
Hey,
he's
Andrea,
fighting two
Andrea.
Candidates, and you're fighting
oh,
one.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Andrea, in every state that we have won, in 19 states, we have had to take on the entire Democratic establishment. We've had to take on senators and governors and mayors and members of Congress. That's what we have taken on. So please do not moan to me about Hillary Clinton's problems.
So the choice of moan is why it made news, because they thought it was not the right choice. But I don't know.
This is,
I mean,
right, this is what Democrats get upset about moan. They get upset about the word moan.
And you got Trump like waging insults.
Screaming bimbo and
Lion Ted.
Right. Whore and what are the other things that he says about people? And then Democrats are like, oh my God, he said moan. You know, moan could be seen as a sexist term.
I don't think that one was that out there.
Really? Yeah, I mean, people in the Democratic Party, you might want to think about another thing. Hurricane Donald is about to hit you. Is it just in the Republican Party?
If you can't handle moan, you're going to be in big trouble now.
We are going to stay focused on the issues. And the issues are a growing gap between the very rich and everybody else, and the fact that we have a government and a corrupt campaign finance system that enables the wealthy and the powerful to control legislation and economic decisions in this country. I want a government that represents all of us, not just the 1%. Those are the issues that I talk about, not Bill Clinton's personal life, not Hillary Clinton's emails, not the Clinton Foundation. That is what Trump will talk about. That's what the media will talk about.
You know, he sounds like Sarah Jinder in the helicopter. Did you notice that?
He's losing his voice.
And by the way, the tri-state right now is absolutely backed up from 55.
Right. Don't go near the off-ramp. He's, that's when he talks on those subject matters, that is when he is best. And it's hard to deny him that he has very, very salient points that a lot of people agree with and see that there is a problem in America.
Well, what's interesting is that Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are fishing off the same theoretical pool there, because or dock, I should say, because what they're talking about the rigged system. And Donald Trump is unique because he was part of the rigging of the system. Right. So it was like, hey, the system's rigged. And that's what's going on. They're out to get me. Both of them are also playing the card of the outsider, and that we're on the outside and you need to figure out, you know, you all feel like you're outsiders too, and I will help you break up the insider cabal that is inside that you want destroyed. And the thing is that I think that Bernie Sanders probably would really want to do that. That also happens.
It does seem extremely genuine on his behalf. And I know a lot of people have challenged, well, how could you do it? And how would you pay for it?
And it's infrastructural.
All those questions come up. But the tone of his campaign, I think, resonates with a lot of Americans. Even if you don't agree with all the policies and you don't agree with all the social issues, whatever it is that makes you slice and dice out him so that you don't want to vote for him, that part is something that is appealing to, I think, a lot of Americans, the income inequality and the lack of chances to get ahead, or the feeling that you're always behind and that your kids may not be able to achieve the same as you, even if somehow you can afford the education and somehow put together what you need to get there. The path isn't always there anymore.
And a ceiling to burn.
I would like you to join
me on my helicopter.
There no, I'm not.
There is trouble on the Ohio feeder ramp right now. I would like to talk to you about that.
On the Bernie Highway.
On the Bernie Highway.
You can take the Bernie Highway wherever you want. A lot of promises and dreams.
Well, speaking of that, do you mind if I move the two up here? Because speaking of that, I think this thing fits very nicely.
Number four.
You really got to love live television, because in a moment that surely will help Bernie Sanders more than it will hurt him, Fox News' Sean Hannity panicked during last night's West Virginia primary coverage when he tossed to a victory speech, only to be greeted by Geraldo Rivera on a hot microphone.
Friend of the show.
Yes. Geraldo Rivera on a hot microphone trashing the burn.
To each according to his need, from each according to his ability. Spread the wealth. Tax people at 98%. That's pretty much the message of Bernie Sanders.
So annoying. This guy is so annoying.
Your mic is hot. What are you saying?
He's so annoying. And people who think that his supporters go to Donald Trump or smoking dope.
There he goes.
I'm not sure he cared that the mic was hot there, knowing what we know about Geraldo.
Right. I think when he was saying that initially,
it was
didn't realize
more of a gut reaction
because they saw him on the cameras. You've seen this happen.
Sure.
One of the great moments, it should be the Museum of Broadcasting, is when they went to Andy Shaw and a hot mic once at Channel 7.
And what did he do?
And he lost his, and he was like saying, so he was yelling at somebody about not having a microphone, and he had the microphone in his hand. It was a really great
moment.
Did
he use any special words in that tirade?
Yeah, there's some special words. Yeah, that was pretty good. One of the greats. We've all made mistakes. Wait, we have that. You want to hear this? We have that. Listen to this.
ABC 7's Andy Shaw reports from Boston.
I need a mic, Rich. A mic. Microphone.
We'll get back to Andy as soon as he finds his microphone.
Oh, gosh. But it was right in his hand. Oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, and I can only laugh because I've had many moments like that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Somehow worked its way in. There's your live mic moment.
Microphone!
All right, the top 5 of 5 continues right here on 720 WGN, the Rocontra with Anna DeVlantis. We're up to
number 3.
You know, one of the biggest complaints about online dating apps like Tinder is that the people on there are looking for just one thing, sex, which means that the messages those people send get explicit fast. One woman in L.A., a 31-year-old filmmaker, Jesse Kahnweiler, no relation, got fed up with that. So she invited her sexting Tinder matches to come over.
Ooh.
They probably thought they were walking into a no-strings-attached kind of evening, right? But instead, Kahnweiler wanted to talk about their Tinder messaging.
Uh-oh.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming. Do I look similar to my profile pictures?
You look absolutely gorgeous.
When we were talking, I said, what are you into? And you said... You seem like such a nice, like, gentle dude. Do you think that this is, like, a turn-on for me?
It's a compliment.
I feel like guys, they just want, you know, and especially online, it's like you just want one thing.
I guess online, you kind of focus on what you want more than you want what the other person would want, too. So it's like you're just looking, okay, is there someone that wants exactly what I want? And then, bam, let's make it happen.
That's what y'all are looking for.
What did this prove exactly?
Proved this is like one of those studies that didn't need to be made.
Yeah,
it's like
people
really?
On Tinder are actually sometimes interested in only a booty call.
Yeah,
she went to Tinder to build a relationship with someone. There's like a million other websites that are more formal settings for that.
And imagine
you do go
the time,
to Tinder for one thing.
The time those people wasted by meeting her.
Yeah,
you know, they could have been somewhere else.
Guys were right.
Oh God. It's not the right way to look at this.
Violetta feels bad for the guys in this one.
I mean,
she's like, yeah, what? Come on.
They weren't expecting it. It's
they wanted to come over and knock boots. That's what they wanted. They don't need this crap. What is going on here?
Well, she also has a pretty sexually suggestive website, personal website. She's a filmmaker with a lot of followers.
Oh, my God. I thought you were talking about me, and I'm
I mean her. Okay, please. Yeah. Separate those two.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So it's sort of like anyone had Googled her, they would have said, oh, okay. I kind of know what I'm doing here.
All right.
I'm getting.
She was in the wrong.
Yeah, well, she made the top 5 at 5.
Number 2.
We told you about this last hour, about the white nationalist who ended up as a delegate in California for Donald Trump because the Trump Organization did not vet him. They didn't realize that this was a guy who was calling for an all-European white American, that all people of any other blood
should not be permitted in the country and definitely should not be given citizenship. That's what he says. He wrote books about this.
He was told, they called him and said, are you the same guy as the guy that this is the Trump people call him? And he goes, yes, I'll resign. Don't worry about it. I'll resign. But then he couldn't resign because then they sent him another email saying, hey, welcome aboard. Because again, their organization, left hand does not know what the right hand is doing.
They say it's a database error.
It was a database error. Sorry about that.
They actually have the email on motherjones.com, the actual correspondence. Congratulations. You're a new delegate. We haven't got the software set up yet, so
send you
some faxes.
So here's what the guy says.
What is it about Mr. Trump that you like?
Mr. Trump is the real deal. He does not govern. He will not govern by public opinion poll. He says what's on his mind. This is kind of like what Ron Paul did. This is what Bernie Sanders is doing. And that's a refreshing change from the politicians that we've had for many decades. That is probably the best thing about him and what endears him to most people in general.
The update on that story, ABC News is reporting that the Trump campaign did not reach out to their office for the delegate, the official delegates in California, until Tuesday, which is past the statutory deadline to submit delegate lists. So they may have to stick with him. I don't know.
Oh, God. Remember, they couldn't get their own kids to vote for them in New York because they did not properly get them to register.
They hadn't registered as Republicans.
Right.
In
there was
time.
Like a September deadline for it, which does seem onerous to me.
It does.
But he was running in June. You might want to have thought that one out.
Well, I think New York should think out the way of having people register in October for a May contest.
And finally, you're a Trump apologist. And finally.
Number one.
Remember Newsroom?
I loved that. The show with Jeff, which is Jeff Bridges?
Right. Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels.
And HBO. Well, with the help of Bloomberg's Matt Negrin and Griffin Hammond, he revived his portrayal of television newsroom anchor Will McAvoy to unleash his thoughts about the upcoming presidential election between Hills and the Trumpster.
What makes Donald...
Because he's not the best case scenario, John. That's my answer. Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump is a fact-bending loose cannon who alienates mainstream voters with everything he says. But he gets constant media attention for free. It won't be a day from now until November when Trump isn't on every TV channel. And with a straight face, you're going to tell me that electing a woman is unprecedented? Germany elected a female chancellor. Brazil elected a female president. Denmark, Poland, Korea, Argentina, Norway, Liberia, Cyprus are run by women. So 22 sovereign states in the world have already beat us on this.
All right.
So they're bringing back Newsroom just for this election cycle? Is that
no, they're bringing No, they're just bringing him back because he was that character, you know, just spoke
right.
the truth as he saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought him back for this just to, with that music playing in the background. Because those monologues, Newsroom was on in the, like, 2012, 2013. That was on when there was a moment where he was talking about the Tea Party and all of that. It was really a commentary on what was happening in the world, as opposed to, and a little bit of the news business.
It was a little bit of the news business. They would talk about different stories that probably were like a year ago when it aired. And kind of show like a behind-the-scenes view of how it might have been played in a newsroom, but it never really resembled any newsroom I was part of. Good show, though. Aaron Sorkin. Right?
Aaron Sorkin wrote it. I wonder if Aaron Sorkin wrote that, too.
He's a genius.
All right, so that's where we sit, right there. There's your top five at five.
Suppose before we go out of this, I shouldn't tell you that the new Reuters poll shows that Clinton and Trump are just about tied nationally.
I don't doubt that at all. After everything else that we have just learned here, I don't doubt it at all. All right, Violetta is going to tell us something about herself. And she told us last night at dinner, and I think that everybody needs to know this story. I don't think it's just, I don't think we should contain it just to this little tight-knit group of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Is she okay? Are you okay telling the story, Violetta?
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Oh, my God.
The top five at five.